First, it's Muse in the News with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Thank you so much. 60% of Texas middle school students and high school students get suspended or expelled.
60?
Yeah. It's a lot, isn't it? They just did this comprehensive review of Texas students and found that zero tolerance doesn't exactly improve schools.
Kids still going to do it anyway.
Yeah, zero tolerance.
They do bad things.
All of a sudden, instead of applying judgment to the situation, we just apply a blanket approach. There's zero tolerance. You're kicked out. And then all of a sudden, you're the discipline problem. And then it gets, like, a student just says, "Ah, screw it. I'm on the outside now."
How many times do you get suspended from school?
Probably, I would say 5 or 6.
Oh, my gosh.
Like suspended for a week, a day?
No, we
rest
had,
of the day?
We had what was called ISS, in-school suspension, and which was, they had it, like, tucked away in the very back of the school on the second floor. There was an oversized, it's like a custodian closet, but you could fit several desks in there, and that was our in-school suspension. There was a woman who was the in-school suspension teacher, and you got sent there for 3 days.
Did she have to feel your wrath, too, with bits and stuff?
Oh, my gosh. It was the worst job in education, being the in-school suspension teacher.
Kind of like being a warden.
Yeah, because you get the cream of the crop of the criminals. And I was in there with criminals. I mean, like, I was always in there for smartassery.
Right.
But these other people were in there for, like,
pulling a knife or...
Yeah, you know, they'd ask me, "What are you in for?" "Oh, I made a double entendre that really broke the class up and made the teacher mad." Then you ask them, what are you in here for, man?" "Oh, I sliced the trachea of a geometry teacher." I mean, it's very different. Yet, I was the most hated person in in-school suspension.
By the teacher?
By the teacher. She hated me more than the rest of them.
Because you knew how to get her goat.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it was.
Found out what her weakness
you
was.
Are, she's forced to be there. You're forced to be there. So, game on. You know, we're at war here. And I'm waging my brand of psychological warfare against you.
So, I'm guessing you wore it as a badge of honor. I'm wondering how many of these 60% that are suspended or kicked out wear it as a badge of honor. Do their peers think they're cool because they get suspended?
I doubt it. Well, their peers may. My peers didn't. See, my group of friends were, like, pretty smart, responsible kids. I didn't hang out with a bunch of hood rats. I was the hood rat of that group.
So you embarrassed them?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they didn't get suspended. I got suspended. And of the 5 or 6 times that I was in school suspension, I got kicked out of that, I think, 5 of the 6 times.
How did your parents handle that?
It's not well. Threats. Gun violence was frequent in my home.
But see, I think that's the difference now, and that's what needs to change, but probably won't. It's how is it handled at home? If the parent doesn't even know or doesn't even care, then, yeah, the guy's always going to be in there and messing around, and it's not going to, or drop out. But, I mean, that was my biggest fear, because I was a smartass, too, but I never wanted to push it too much, because there's no way I could have gone home and told my parents I was suspended from school.
Yeah. That word is pretty powerful, suspended.
Oh, my gosh.
But this is the trick I didn't understand. So if I'm in-school suspension and I get kicked out of in-school suspension, right, I'm so bad that I'm even getting suspended from suspension, what they would do is... Dear sweet Miss Coleman, and I have a lot of guilt over this because she really was a very sweet woman who taught this class. But she would have to send me back to the office. She would kick me out of suspension. And then I would just go back to regular class the next day. So my goal was to get kicked out of in-school suspension the first day, and then I can just go back to regular class the next day. It made no sense.
So you would get the rest of the day off from school,
right,
and then just back to your normal schedule the next day.
Right. That day you got kicked out of in-school, you got an unexcused absence for that day.
Mm-hmm.
But you had, you know, whatever, 3 or 4 of those each 6 weeks.
Wow. It's a good deal.
I'm a bitch.
You could just burn that there. Yeah, I'd be in the cell block C, basically, with these guys who would like, because Miss Coleman had a hotline phone up on the desk where she could like directly patched into
police.
And those guys would take the phone, throw it out the window, and do all kinds of stuff. Put a desk through a window and everything. I'd make one smart-ass comment, and she would just go off on me. It's the weirdest thing.
Have you ever apologized to her?
No. I've never tracked her down.
Well, we need to. Bring her up here have you apologize to her, and we can hear from her side.
I've told the story of the famous double entendre that got kicked out of there that one time when we got a science fiction book in the back of the room. There were all these reading materials. They encouraged you, you know, to read. You know, that's good for our youth. Read. So there was
in
a bookshelf.
In the suspension room?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the prison library, right? And there was one science fiction book in there. It was written by a guy named John Moorcock. So, of course, that book starts getting passed around the back, and we're all giggling and everything. And it lands on my desk at the moment that Miss Coleman says, you know, Gordon, bring that book up here right now. Whatever it is y'all giggling at, you bring it up here right now. And so the class is a little twittering, tittering going on. So I walk in front of the room, and I have the book, and I hold it at belt level and kind of shove it towards her and say, all right, Miss Coleman.
If you want.
If you want. And I'm gonna add his first name in here. If you want John Moorcock, I'll give you John Moorcock.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't use his first name to her.
Didn't quite use his first name.
You got immediately ejected.
Yes.
Oh, I bet the kids loved that.
I was immediately, yes, I was. I suffered an ejection over that one. It's a Pyrrhic victory. Anyway, 60% of Texas middle and high school students are following my very successful lead.
Don't do what he did, kids.
Yes, kids. Remember, it works out for you.
Sometimes. It did for Gordo, but probably won't for you.
You guys ever ride the bus to school?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keller ISD, they're talking about making parents pay for students who want to ride the bus. No longer being a free service. $185 a semester for a kid to ride the bus to school.
Isn't that an outrage, considering you already pay your school taxes?
Yeah, but all these school districts don't have any money. And that's one of their biggest expenditures is that bus service. You got to pay the driver. You got to pay all that gasoline. Those things eat the gas.
At what point does a parent sit down and say, okay, we pay X amount in taxes every year. Now we're paying $180 a semester. Why don't we just send them to private school? At what point does the parent say that?
Before you do that, why don't you just ask Rick Perry what the flip he's been doing the last 8 years.
Adios. He's a true conservative.
But all of a sudden he's going to run for president because he's got it all figured out. Oh, yeah, we've done a hell of a job with our education system here. The state doesn't have any money, cities don't have any money, and schools don't have any money, but I'll be president of the United States.
Well, why are you blaming Rick Perry? Just blame the liberals.
Because that was what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to fix all this
mess.
But
he couldn't because of the liberals.
No, that's not true.
George, he's been called by God to run for our presidency.
Yeah, haven't you seen the big...
I don't think that was God calling.
Prayer?
I think that was his ego saying, hey, dude, you can kick this up another notch and be president instead of just governor.
Now, this prayer summit that Rick Perry is participating in, it's run by American Family Association.
Oh, gosh.
Why are you rolling your eyes? This used to be all that you were about.
Well,
anybody who just slapped America or family on something, you were all taking my hat off and putting it over my heart.
Yeah, I thought you were a member of the AFA.
Oh, man, I'm a hippie now.
So the people who run this, some of their members have some pretty hot sports opinions. The group's spokesman, Brian Fisher, has said that Adolf Hitler...
Oh, no.
Heads up.
Adolf Hitler began the Nazi party in a gay bar and recruited the gays into his army because others wouldn't match their savagery and brutality.
And I guarantee you, Rick Perry's back there nodding his head going, yeah, oh my. So true. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The C. Peter Wagner, a Colorado evangelist who's a member of the groups, mm-hmm. he has advocated placing the government and media under Christian control, as well as burning the statues of Catholic saints.
What does Rick Perry think about all this?
Well, Rick says, hey, look, I welcome their endorsements, but that doesn't mean I endorse everything that everybody who endorses me when I'm not endorsing them about things they're endorsing me.
Well, I'm glad he's on the summit. We can't even pay for buses down here in the state of Texas.
John Hagee of San Antonio has called the Roman Catholic Church the Whore of Babylon and said that
God used Hitler to have the Jews resettle Israel.
What?
This is the group that...
But he's always got to go to Hitler.
Why? Rick Perry's meeting with. Why do they have to do this?
What's that?
Mike Bickle of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. That's good syrup.
IHOP. That's also IHOP.
Yep. He has described Oprah Winfrey as the pastor
of the heart at Babylon
that will be a precursor to the coming of the Antichrist.
She's black,
excessively black.
Whoa.
Here's something that I've never quite understood about Christians, how they get so sidetracked and derailed. Anytime you get a preacher, pastor who seems real preoccupied with Babylon and whores of and all that kind of stuff, and he gets way too deep into Revelations and what's going to happen, instead of just focus here and now. You don't worry about the end of the world. Don't worry anything about that. You just here and now. Are you ladling soup for your neighbor? Good.
That's not
you're
as,
done now.
That's not as interesting as the end of the world.
No, we got to figure it out. You know, in this verse over here cryptically said this.
It says Rick Perry ought to run for president.
Parade of whores. Just focus on feeding your fellow man and all the nice things, and that's all you have to do.
So
be a decent person. Don't worry about the big picture.
Right.
Okay, worry about your little small piece of the picture.
So what his platform? One more question about Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Is his platform going to be, I will do for the United States what I've done for Texas?
No, his platform will be, look at my hair, and I come from the same place as George W.
Okay. Yeah. That's a better platform than our education system sucks and we've stuck a gas well up everyone's ass. But I think that's a better platform.
Here's the thing, Giorgio. You know how politics works now. You don't run on anything you've actually done or anything. Mm-mm. You run on, you wrap yourself in other things. Hairdo.
Looks.
America.
Sound bites.
Families.
Families. Go to family summits.
Yeah,
hope. Can help
prayer.
It.
Change.
Hope. Yeah, hope. Change.
Focus.
And you know what?
Only on
you
the
get,
children.
You just get the buzzwords, and people vote not for a person. They vote on which set of buzzwords appeals to them the most.
And Perry and Palin are doing it the right way. They have not officially announced.
No.
So they're creating this
buzz,
this well of support. People, please run, run.
We're recruiting you to get in this. You're reluctantly doing that.
Right.
And that gives me the impression that you are just going to serve us rather than serve yourself.
And
you're serving us.
Yes, and all these other people who've already jumped in, that makes them look too anxious.
Yeah,
and,
they're doing it for their own reasons.
And, you guys have already announced, but look, everybody wants us to jump into the race. They're not happy with you.
And this stuff works. You know why? Because we all have busy minds, busy lives. We're filled. Our days are filled with our internet searches and our YouTube videos, and we don't have time to study the issues. Therefore, make me a little mental shortcut. Which guy are you? Oh, you're the guy who's against crime? I'm with you. I'm exactly with you and everything.
Rick Perry,
which one are you? You're
the
one who wants people to have a bunch of health care for poor people? Okay, I think the same way. That's all I need to do. Give me the shorthand.
All right,
believe they're talking about tearing it down. Valley View Mall.
Really? I used to work at Valley View Mall.
Yeah, you know, Preston Wood's already gone. And now they're talking about tearing down Valley View Mall maybe as part of this LBJ corridor remake.
I never thought it was healthy when I worked there in the late 80s. I couldn't believe it was surviving that close to the Galleria.
I had girlfriends that worked there. I couldn't believe that they had the Galleria and Valley View and Prestonwood all just right there. How that could all survive. Well, one's fallen right after another. Can't believe Valley View may go away. And that Sears was there even before Valley View. They still are operating. They opened in 1965. Birthdays today. Country singer George Hamilton IV is 74.
Not the tan guy.
No. I don't think so.
No.
Singer Vicky Carr is 71. Musician Commander Cody is 67. Guitarist Brian May of Queen is 64.
Greatness.
Campbell Scott, 50, the actor who's always trying to look like Joe Michael. Anthony Edwards is 49. Jason McGurr of Death Cab for Cutie is 37. And now that's enough. You're fine.
All right, Gordo. Thank you. That's Muse in the News, 732 on Sports.